Well, if that looked anything like your Monday morning, you're going to enjoy the conversation today. Let's talk this morning about patience. It's the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to look in just a couple of minutes at this incredible power that comes from a relationship with God, this ability to wait. And oh my goodness, culturally, we have a problem with being able to wait. I want to read to you an article, just part of an article that came from the website boston.com. It's from their lifestyle section. The article title is this: "The growing culture of impatience makes us crave more and more instant gratification." So let me just read to you a couple of things from the article. "Melissa Francis has no patience for waiting," the article begins, "for anything. When the 26-year-old Alston barista talks about slow internet connections, she can barely hide her disdain. Waiting a couple of extra seconds for a page to load feels like an eternity. It is obvious that she never grew up under dial-up AOL. I'm not proud of it, but I yell at my computer when it's slow," she said. The demand for instant results is seeping into every corner of our lives, and not just virtually. Retailers are jumping into the same-day delivery services. Smartphone apps eliminate the wait for a cab, a date, or a table at a hot restaurant. Movies and TV shows begin streaming in seconds. But experts caution that instant gratification comes at a price. It's making us less patient. The Pew Research Center's Internet and American Life Project sums up a recent study about people under the age of 35 and the dangers of their hyperconnected lives with what sounds like a prescription drug warning. This is what it reads: "Negative effects include a need for instant gratification and loss of patience." And it's not just Gen Y, of course. Anyone who's growled in frustration while a website loads or while on hold with a doctor's office knows tolerance for delay is in short supply. But impatience may be most pronounced among the young, wired nearly from birth. My 1.5-year-old already knows how to work part of my iPhone. The article goes on to say, we've come to expect things so quickly that researchers found people can't wait more than a few seconds for a video to load. Ramesh, a computer science professor at UMass, examined the viewing habits of 6.7 million internet users in a study released last fall. How long were subjects willing to be patient? 2 seconds. After that, they started abandoning. He noted, after 5 seconds, the abandonment rate is 25%. And at 10 seconds, half are gone before the video ever starts. The results offer a glimpse into the future, he says. As internet speeds increase, people will be even less willing to wait for that cute puppy video. Ramesh, who spent years developing the study, worries someday people will be too impatient to conduct studies on patients. I thought this was interesting as well. Daryl Worthy, an assistant professor of psychology at Texas A&M University who studies decision-making and motivation, has found evidence of what some already feel or already feared. "We're becoming more focused on quick fun, such as a game of Angry Birds on the iPhone, than on reading books and magazines." The article noted that Netflix has 33 million members who stream videos, compared with only 8 million who get DVDs by mail. I'm going to confess this morning, I've canceled my DVD service because I have live stream or video streaming with Netflix. He goes on to say, that echoes the Pew study. Researchers found that the rapid pace of technology can lead to more nimble thinking, but that trends are leading to a future in which most people are shallow consumers of information. And then the concluding paragraph. A lot of things that are really valuable take time, Worthy said, but immediate gratification is the default response. It's difficult to overcome those urges, and be patient and wait for things to come over time. I don't know if anyone in the room can relate, but if by chance you struggle with patience, today is tailor-made for you. And it's tailor-made for me. Because as I studied this fruit of the Spirit, I began to realize I have a lot of growing to do. I have a lot of area for the Holy Spirit, that empowering agent in my life, to really run its course and to do that work within me. And if you live in that world, I want you to listen today. I just recently downloaded an app. Let me tell you how this is the tendency within human nature. I recently downloaded an app. It was like, it's called, I think, Compass West, something like that. It's a Wild Wild West game where you build a home base and then you go and destroy everyone else's bases. You know, really important stuff, right? And so I was playing this game, and it's free to purchase or to download from the App Store, but the graphics are exceptional and the gameplay is really engaging. And you guys know this by now. Anytime there's exceptional gameplay and graphics and it's free, there's always a catch. So I started this process, and basically for the first couple of rounds, you get all the buildings almost instantly, and they're really cheap to buy, you know, with some coins. But before long, just a couple of stages into this, it takes hours for these buildings to be built. But you can purchase diamonds to speed up the process so that the buildings are built instantly. Right? This game is making millions and millions of dollars because we cannot wait. Paul, speaking about how the Spirit of God manifests a certain type of life within us, writes these words in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. We've already covered that. Joy, peace, and patience. If you're new here this morning at Solace Church, a first-time guest, thank you for being here. Let me catch you up on what Paul is telling us. And if you're watching online, thank you for being a part of our online community this morning. And here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that the working, the outer working of the spirits demonstrates, manifests certain types of behavior. Love, unconditional love, that is the ability to be selfless and sacrificial regardless of how people are treating you. It's the ability to experience a deep sense of gladness, joy, that is in spite of our circumstances, that this joy comes from knowing I'm saved and that I'm secure in terms of my future, that I have a home in Christ. I have a sense of gladness within me because of those realities. And I have peace as well, this steadfastness, this stability, this security that comes from knowing God is in control. So think about this for a moment, church. God is in control. He's covered my past, present, and future. All of it's well within his ability to deal with. And he's given me the model in Christ to show me how to love people. That's the three foundational fruits of the Spirit. Now, because of that, I'm able to exercise patience. What is patience? If you're writing a definition of patience, just write this down. Patience is the God-given ability to bear up under difficulty without giving up to or into bitterness, frustration, or hopelessness. Now, Tim Keller helped me work through this. He's a pastor in the New York area. He kind of modeled this first in a message he preached, and I just modified it just a bit, but it's very, very true. If you're writing things down, let me say it again. Patience is the God-given ability to bear up under difficulty without giving up to or into bitterness, frustration, or hopelessness. It's the ability to not lose heart or grow weary when things aren't moving as you think that they should. Now, Paul helps us understand how the Holy Spirit allows the ability within us to bear up or to wait or to be steadfast or unmovable in this. The ability to not grow weary, how that works. He gives us that picture in Colossians chapter 1. Now, I just want to go there quickly because I want to show you what Paul has to say about how the Spirit moves us to be able to endure or wait. And this is the way Paul says it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, talking to the church of Colossae, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul wants them to know what God longs for in their life. Verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. Notice the tie-in, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And then the key verse, verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. That is a picture of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Spirit within us, so that you may have great endurance and patience. So Paul teaches us that it's that the Spirit of God works within us that allows us to endure, to wait. But I'm going to just share with you very practically this morning that this is very difficult for me. And if it's for you, then we'll connect this morning for sure. I found in my life that there are two areas that test my patience. There are two areas that I struggle with that you may find in your own life you're struggling with as well. And the first one, as I try to see the Spirit allow me to wait, is this, is in terms of time, I struggle with being patient with the pace of completion. The pace of completion. What do I mean by that? Well, this is just kind of what's true in my life. I'm tempted to be impatient when my expectations of what should be happening isn't what is happening. If you've ever felt like you deserved a raise or a promotion at work and it hasn't come yet, you know exactly what it feels like to struggle with impatience. If you've ever felt like you deserve that place on that team or that, you know, that group, and you didn't get that place or that team or on that group, if you've ever felt like God was calling you into a certain ministry and it just hadn't happened yet, if you felt like God said you were going to start something and it hadn't started yet, you know the frustration with the pace of completion. This is what I think the timeline should be, but this is the actual timeline, and it's frustrating. And in those moments of frustration, just listen. One of the temptations in those moments is to allow bitterness to begin to creep into your heart so that you begin not just to be frustrated, but you have a sense of anger about you as well because things just aren't working out the way you thought they should. And so it begins to reside in your heart. Not only that, you grow weary with the timeline. There's a sense of hopelessness, like this is never going to come to pass. And so if you've ever felt that before, listen, this is a very real issue in our life. Certainly, it speaks to the character of God in the sense that, God, where are you? Why aren't you unfolding this quicker in my life? But I want you to know that if you struggle with that, and by the way, if you're there right now today, if you're in the midst of this, please know that all throughout Scripture, men and women alike have struggled with the pace of completion. For instance, take Abraham. Abraham was promised a son who was going to be, you know, this son who would bring about a great nation and bring about a Messiah. And Abraham struggled with the pace of completion. He felt like God promised him something. He knew God promised, but God wasn't bringing to pass quick enough. And so what did Abraham do? Morgan is the pastor of Gateway in Dallas, Texas area. And he preached a message one time. It was so great about a tendency within humanity. And the message was called, I think it was called The Call and the Send. In other words, the moment God calls and then the moment God delivers on the call, where you actually see that lived out. And he says in the midst of that is this waiting period. And the tendency within all of us is to try to force the call when we don't see God responding as quickly as we think he should. So Abraham, case in point, what happens? He's promised the son. He doesn't get the son. So his wife says, well, go hook up with the maidservant. You can have a son through her. And so the son is born. And if you know the story of Isaac and Ishmael, you know that today, presently in the 21st century, we are living under the baggage and the consequences of Abraham, who forced the call in his own time period. Because today, presently, we have both Jews and Muslims warring against one another. We see a problem with forcing the call. You know, this is all throughout Scripture. Moses tries to move forward the deliverance of his people by killing an Egyptian, right? And he just kills him. Like, he's ready to move forward. He's tired of seeing his people in captivity. And because of that, he has to spend 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, working some stuff out in his life. Here we see Peter as well. Remember Peter? Peter is ready to see the kingdom of Christ start reigning on earth. And so when Jesus says it's time, Peter thinks he means it's time to go to war. And so when they come to arrest Jesus, Peter takes out his sword, getting ready to cut the dude's head off, misses a bit, cuts his ear off. He's ready. He's eager to see this come to pass. Jesus is like, not yet. Not yet. We do this as well, don't we? When we don't see God working fast enough, we begin to conjure up ways to move things forward. And inevitably, hear me, inevitably, when you try to force in the flesh what God is trying to do through his sovereignty, when you try to force it in the flesh, inevitably, it takes longer to bring it to pass. And the fruit of the Spirit allows a person, when they seem like, when they think things aren't moving forward, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, allows them to wait on the Lord, on the timing of the unfolding of the plans of God. Now, Paul helps us understand this, and if you're writing things down, I would just encourage you to write this first part of this first verse down, because Paul's terminology, the way he words this sentence, is so dead on, pointed and directed at those who battle with the pace of completion. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul's speaking in Galatians 4 about the covenant of God, and he's talking here about what Christ has done for us and through his death. And in the midst of that conversation, Paul says these words, "But when the time had fully come, God." I love some of the other translations that say, "In the fullness of time, God." What did God do? God sent Jesus. That's the rest of the verse, right? But notice the order of the verse. When time had fully come, then God. You see, Jesus came exactly when he needed to come on this earth. He made his entrance through the womb of a virgin. And he waited 30 years to start his ministry. And then 3 years later, when everything had come to pass that needed to come to pass, then he went to the cross. You see the pace? See, the truth of the matter is, some of us in the room, things haven't moved as quickly or as far as you would like them to move because in the fullness of time has not become your reality. There are still events that need to unfold. There are still connections that need to be made. God's still working in other areas so that in the moment when God is ready and has connected all the dots that need to be connected, then he can unleash what he's promised to you. And so, in the meantime, what do you do? Isn't that a great question? That's a stress point in some people's life. I haven't seen the fullness yet, so what do I do? Well, certainly not forcing it. That doesn't work. We've already seen that. What do you do? I think there's two things a person can do, and this is where the Spirit enables us to work, right? And do something. Here's what it is. Ready? Number one, it's to be still. This is just rest in the fact that your pace isn't the only timetable that God's interested in. I know that you wish that it was, but it's not. The scale at which the canvas on which God is painting is much larger. And the God who stands outside of the finite world in which we live is ordering and orchestrating things far beyond what we could see. And here's the truth. When the fullness of time comes in the life of the believer, when God brings to pass what he promises, truly, it's always better than we could have imagined in the first place. So he waits. Let me tell you what else we can do. You ready? We can steward what's already been entrusted to us. I've said this in the past before, but it's worth saying again today. Waiting on the Lord, part of it is being still, but part of it is also saying, what has God already entrusted to me in this moment? It's very possible that the fullness of time has not come for us yet because there are some stewardship issues. God is not ready to entrust us with more until we handle what he has already given us. So in the power of the Spirit, I think we should certainly be still before the Lord, but also take inventory. Am I handling what God has already placed in front of me? Relationally, am I stewarding well? Financially, in the material world, am I stewarding that well? And then I wait, and I trust. And I wait, and I trust. I've also found in my journey that it's not just the completion of events, or the pace of completion of events that bothers me. It's also people. It's their pace of perfection that causes me to be impatient. This is me this morning. I'm tempted to be impatient when my expectations of how someone should be acting is not how they are acting. And this is an odd one for me, because I struggle with the pace of completion, certainly, and I've really struggled with waiting on the timing of God, because I always like to move faster. But inevitably, in the midst of that struggle, there's always one or two or three people that just test the limits of my ability to wait on them. Tim Keller says that the definition of patience really is more along the lines of long suffering, literally to suffer a long time. I heard another definition about patience. It's not a theological definition, but it works for sure. It's the ability to count down before blasting off. I want you to think about that for a moment. As it relates to people, this is certainly true. But there's a weird dynamic, and this is just full confession from your pastor today, there's a weird dynamic that exists within me that I find myself being really patient with some and not patient with others, namely my family. Let me give you a perfect illustration. Several months ago now, I went to D.L. Moss, which is the Tulsa County Jail, and I went to meet an individual there just to spend some time with him and just that pastoral care thing. And I made my way into the visitor's area. There's this room, and there's a glass wall that separates. And they were sitting on the other side. I was sitting on this side, and we were communicating. And this individual began to share what they had done, and they, you know, made some justification for their actions and made a few excuses, but ultimately they said, you know what, this is what I've done, these are the things I've done, and I own them, and it's my fault. And I found myself listening to this person, and I found myself very, very patient with where they were in the process. Like, I was hurting because of the decisions that they've made, and I was very kind and tender and sensitive to listen, and I engaged in conversation. I was speaking life in it. Listen, I know this is where you are now, but listen, God has more for your life. I'm sure of it. Let's go through this. Let's get through this. Here's some scripture to memorize, man. I know God's not finished with you yet. And that is exactly what that person needed to hear. And so I left with this great sense of, you're going through stuff, and listen, you're making some mistakes, but I know God has more for you, all right? Now, take that illustration for a moment. Compare it to what I'm about to tell you. About a week or so ago, Graham, my middle child, and Grady, my oldest child, were sitting down at our table for breakfast. Georgia, which is our little girl, was running around the house somewhere. I have no idea where she was. I don't really know. That's what happens when you have three. You stop keeping up. I have no clue. But Grady and Graham were at the table, and I'd fixed them breakfast. I think they were eating waffles, and Graham had a cup of chocolate milk. He was sitting on the end of the table. And I remember being just to the side of Graham, and I was talking to the boys about something, probably like, hurry up, we're going to be late for school, something about like that, you know? And so I was talking to them, and Graham turned around to look at me, and I saw what was about to happen. His chocolate milk was sitting on the table in such a place that when he turned back around, I knew he was about to hit it. And so he mentioned something to me, and he turned around, and his arm just almost like perfectly just hit it. And I was like, Graham! And he hit the milk. It spilled over. It ran over the table, and like a waterfall, flowed down to the floor. And I lost it. It went something like this. Graham, what are you doing? Did you not see the chocolate milk there was sitting on the table? How in the world did you hit it over? Move the chocolate milk up further on the table and you won't hit it over next time. You went to the prison told the dude across from you who committed felonies that life is going to be okay and God's got purposes and plans for you. And here's some verses for you. And you verbally crucified your 5-year-old for knocking some milk over. Everyone in the room, you have that person or those people that test your patience to the nth degree. So I was studying this weird dynamic about the people who don't meet my expectations of where they should be. I was reminded of a verse in Scripture. I just want to give it to you because it hit me square between the eyes. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. He says this, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and you pay no attention to the plank in your own?" Oh my gosh, when I read that, it just hit me. My 5-year-old son tipped over a glass of milk, and the sawdust that was his mistake revealed the plank, which was my impatience. I begin to realize, I think one of the reasons why we find ourselves impatient with so many others is because we sometimes fail to look inwardly at ourselves and see that we are also very much a work in progress. It's very easy for me to point out all the ways that someone else can improve without also recognizing that I am in a process whereby God is being patient with me as he is revealing more of Christ in me. And I think one of the powerful truths of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit has the ability to come and certainly empower us to endure, but also to remind us of the journey. You never really know what's going on in the life of an individual who is driving you crazy with all their quirks and all their inadequacies and all their imperfections. And so, church, I want to encourage you today to really embrace this, that the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience, doesn't excuse or justify sin, but allows time for the grace of God to work in that person, much like the grace of God is working in us. And so it's the pace of completion and the pace of perfection where I struggle to be patient with people. And I just would want to add one more thing just quickly this morning. I recognize that sometimes, and maybe it's some in the room today, sometimes it may not be the pace of completion or the pace of people. Maybe it's just understanding what God's up to in a circumstance. Maybe it's the patience of trying to figure out what's God's purpose in allowing me to go through this situation. I don't know if you noticed this morning, but I shaved my head. A few of you may have noticed. If you didn't, we don't know each other very well. The last time my head looked like this was in 7th grade with a flat top. There's a young man in our church named Justin Jackson. He's battling lymphoma, a very fast, aggressive form of lymphoma. And he's in the hospital and he's going through chemotherapy. And I said to Justin, I said, "Look, you're in a significant battle. You're in your 20s and you're in the battle for your life." And I said, "Look, if you have to shave your head along the way at some point, I'll shave my head." And he sent me a picture and with some scissors and said, "Your turn." And so I did that, right? And so there's no honor and pride in that for me. I just wanted to be in the journey with him for sure. And I know several others in our church has done that as well. If you've ever wanted to shave your head, this is your chance. You have an excuse now. Come on with me, right? You can do it. But I thought about Justin. I thought about his journey and where he is. He is in a hospital room, 5 days of chemotherapy, and he's in the midst of that. And certainly as a 20-something-year-old young man, he is wondering, what in the world is going on in my journey? And in these moments, you're tempted to believe God is not present and active and involved, and you don't see the activity of God in all this sometimes. And I just would say to you, to people like Justin, and maybe even some of you in the room who are battling those kinds of things, hear me. God is the God who is active and involved. And even when you cannot see it, and even when you don't understand it, he is at work doing the work of a sovereign God who loves you. And I love what Isaiah says, and I want to leave you with this verse. Isaiah says, "They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint." And it is the promise of the Holy Spirit that allows us to endure, not grow weary, not lose heart, but have a sense of hope, bearing up under the weight of the difficulty when things aren't moving at the pace that they should. So here's what I thought we would do. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes this morning.
Hey, this is Pastor Matt Blair. Thank you so much for taking time to check out our podcast today at solacechurch.com. You know, we realize that it's possible, as you listen to this message today, that God may have spoken to your heart about something. So if you made any kind of spiritual decision, we would love to know about that. You can email us at info@solacechurch.com and let us know what happened in your life today. Once again, thank you so much for taking time to check out this podcast.